this afternoon. To the holy of many names and many traditions, we offer our cautious gratitude today for the decision of the Federal District Court that stopped some of the most egregious of principles of SB 1070 Arizona. And yet, we are gathered on holy ground, though it is the ground of the federal building. This is holy ground to assert our voice, to assert our collective power in saying no to laws, to policy, to thinking that's based on hate, that criminalizes people for the way they look, or the way they speak. We say no in this community and communities across our homeland to anything that separates families, children from their caregivers in ways that destroy families. And we call on citizens of this place, this city, this county, this state, to inoculate our thinking against laws that are based on hate. We gather in mystery and in hope.
Thank you very much, Reverend Todd. Thank you so much, all of you, for coming to this. And I do think it is important, before we get into the meat of this, to acknowledge that there is joy in this. There is joy in the fact that some of the most egregious of the clauses have been put on hold of SB 1070. This is good news. This is wonderful news. Fact. This is great. Great. However, having acknowledged this, the work has only just begun. There's a lot of work still to do. The two themes of this rally are no to Arizona's new immigration law, SB 1070, and no to racial and ethnic profiling in Syracuse and in the nation. I think that there are a lot of people who like to think that the two issues of immigration reform and racial profiling are separate. That is not the case. And this is not just about Arizona, by the way. Right here in Syracuse, I have worked with families who have been completely broken up because of this broken system. You know, people who went to the grocery store and who never came back. People who were stopped by routine traffic violations. Border Patrol and ICE was called on them. They ended up in county jail. And then after that, the path is irrevocable. Once they're in county jail, detention centers, and then you get deported. So the only thing that's really horrible about this Arizona law is that it enshrines what has already been happening. That adds insult to injury. And we are here to say that we are not going to take it anymore. That this is not the value of the statute. Check out the literature that's on this table. And without further ado, I'm going to start by introducing my good friend from the New York Civil Liberties Union, Barry Gewalter, who is going to speak to the constitutional issues.
This is a really, really good turnout, and I think as we continue looking at the injustices around the issue of the need for reform of immigration, we're going to get more and more people that see that this is a basic American issue of fairness. We have laws in our country that make it a violation of our federal civil laws, not criminal laws, to be present in the U.S. without a visa or without permission to enter. Yet millions of people are present in the United States, living, working, studying, contributing to our communities in spite of those restrictions. Government has decided to focus its
would really prefer to go through the process of achieving lawful presence if possible. A lot of the people that were here, that are here now, would like to achieve lawful process, lawful status if possible. But the system provides no feasible pathway, and if they even tried, it would result in almost automatic deportation with absolutely no due process, tearing apart families with no possibility of reunification. So the system is broken. I believe we all know that. Now, the federal government can't decide how to enforce their priorities for enforcing our laws and how to allocate very scarce law enforcement resources. But that wasn't good enough for the state of Arizona. Now, I will acknowledge that Arizona has some real problems with the influx of people that are coming to this country without documentation. And there's a higher rate of criminal activity that's going on in Arizona that may be tied to immigrant communities. But as the judge, the federal judge, stated, Arizona went too far. In response to a federal lawsuit, this federal judge, Judge Bolton, placed a hold on key enforcement provisions in the Arizona law because she felt that these very complex issues with so many people at stake and so many families at stake, this controversial issue that nobody can agree on, needs to be worked out in the courts, not in our jails. And it was based on the idea that it would not be in the public interest to interfere with the federal approach to enforcing federal law. And she said that it would result in the detention of non-citizens while the police, who really don't understand immigration law, try desperately to figure out whether somebody was in status or out of status. Non-citizens. Because I don't know about you, but I don't carry a card with me every day that says I'm a citizen. And neither does my naturalized mother, who was born in Czechoslovakia and ran from Hitler. Accordingly, this judge placed a hold on the implementation of the provision that would require officers of the law to question immigrants about their status if they stopped or detained them for any other crime. And being an undocumented immigrant is not a crime. It is a violation of our civil laws. So if you have a broken tail light, or you ran a stop sign, or you forgot to put on your seatbelt, that does not mean that the police should be asking you questions about a violation of civil law. She put on a hold the provision that would criminalize unlawful presence because people did not have documents proving their status. Now, there are maybe people that are immigrants in this assembly here, but not everybody is going to carry documents on them 24/7, and that is not a crime. She put on hold the provision that would make it a crime for an undocumented person to seek work. I'm sorry, but people who are here and are working principles in the Bill of Rights that protect our liberty and ensure due process and fair treatment under the law. I applaud the judge's action today, and I urge our federal government to fix the problem. Restore due process, restore fairness, provide a reasonable accountable back to citizenship. No human being is illegal.
Smart. years old, and they don't know any other country but this country. They don't care about any other country but this country. They don't love any other flag but this flag. They don't love any other anthem but this anthem. So, you know, those people argue that they should not have a path to legalization either. So, that's totally un-American. That's not what the U.S. stands for. We should strive to
testimony of a dear friend of mine, a dear friend of our people. She has lived in Central New York for 12 years. She's a mother and a worker. I asked her to share with us her feelings about laws like the law in Arizona. And this is what she told me. As a woman, victim of domestic violence, I believe the police is there to help us and protect us. What we have to do now? Live with the beatings or risk being deported to my country? Where I fear the situation will not be any better for my children. I have been in this country for 12 years. We are not criminals. I fear for my kids. They need their mother. Nobody will love them and take care of them like me. I cannot speak on my own today because I live in fear. We are not here to take nothing away from you. We want to live in peace. Constantly looking over our shoulders, being worried about being stopped by the police for the smallest thing, for just being brown skinned, or because I speak Spanish and will have trouble answering questions, that is not a life. Thank you. Gracias.
Same laws that we had in place 100 years ago
judicial reform, are in opposition of laws like the ones in Arizona. We have to make our voices heard because, as Jose said, this is happening in our own backyard. So, whether it's Jose, myself, maybe you one day traveling down I-90 and actually produce documents, you know, on the way, on your way somewhere to enjoy your day with your family, things like that have to stop. Thank you.
Spin on our sharing this afternoon. I come not as a member of the immigrant community, but I do come as one who is more than familiar with being stopped because of what you look like. For those who cannot tell, I'm an African-American male. I'm an African-American male who was born in Washington, D.C. At one time, the population of Washington, D.C. was about 70% African American. During a time when the population of Washington, D.C. was still about 70% African American, I, who have been an ordained minister for more than 20 years now, and my younger brother, who has been a metropolitan police officer in Washington, D.C. for the last 24 years, the two of us and two of our friends were in a car. The only crime we committed was to head from DuPont Circle near downtown Washington, D.C. toward Georgetown.
were pulled over in Chocolate City for driving while black. I committed no crime. I didn't even commit any.